by the Spirit. And this is part five. And today, we're going to be getting into some really good things, but we're going to review a lot. Because the Word of God has an accumulating effect in your spirit. It one thing on top of another. And no matter what level of faith you get on, you're always connected to that foundational understanding. And so to touch base with the very foundational truths that this is built on, we're going to review some of those. But as we prepare this morning for our confession, turn with me to Romans chapter 8. And we've got to remember something. The Word of God is seed. Jesus said it in Mark chapter 4, Matthew 13, other places. He called the Word of God seed. And 1 Peter 1:23 says this. It says that we are born again, not of corruptible, but by incorruptible seed, by the Word of God that lives and abides forever. You were born again by the Word of God. The Word of God and the Spirit of God. And by the way, the water and the Spirit, Jesus said you must be born of water and the Spirit. That's not the waters of water baptism. No, you're born again by the Word of God and the Spirit of God, the water of the Word and the Spirit of God work together to produce the new creation in you. That went over pretty big, I guess. But a lot of people think that. I mean, there's a whole denomination that has about 20 different divisions in it that all says that you're saved when you're baptized in water, and that's not the truth at all. It's not what the Bible teaches. But baptism is... There is grace imparted to us through baptism in water. Amen. And it is real. It's powerful too. Amen. We had four people baptized on the 16th. Did we get the certificates for that? Well, let's give them out. Got baptism certificates. Brian and Marie, okay. We've got a lot of people out today. I know that John's got a game, and John, he's a coach. It's his profession. People on vacation, whatever. So, but you know what? God works well with just two. That's all you need. Amen. Somebody can speak, somebody can hear. That's all you need. The door to the supernatural swings on two hinges, believing and speaking. See, the devil doesn't care what you believe as long as you be quiet about it.
Right.
Okay, you there?
Yes.
Yes. But the Word of God is seed. And seed reproduces after its own kind. The life of God is in the Word of God. It's in the seed of God. And when it goes into your spirit, it reproduces after the God kind. And if you are born again, then you are of the God kind. In fact, you are the God kind. Because you're not an old sinner saved by grace. You're a new creation.
Yes.
You know, that's an impossible thing to do. That's an impossible act to be a sinner and saved by grace at the same time. You can't be both. You are either a sinner or you're saved by grace. Amen? Because you're not an old sinner. You are a new creation in Christ Jesus. Raised up far above all powers, principalities, mights, and dominions. You are who God says you are, regardless of how you feel.
Amen.
See, Jesus, it says that God the Father is looking for people. He seeks such to worship as worship him in spirit and in truth. What's truth? Truth is what God says about you, regardless of what you think about you, regardless of what others think about you, regardless of what your past is. You're a new creation.
Amen.
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 New creation is new creation, and it means a new species of being that never existed before.
Amen.
The devil had the power of sin and death, but he has been. He's a has-been. He doesn't have that anymore. Jesus took it away from him. Even Paul had the power to lay his life down or to keep going. Did you know he said that? He said, it's more needful for me to be here with you. But he said, I'd rather go home and be with the Lord. Amen. So you are the God kind. And the God kind talks like God. And the God kind believes like God. And the God kind acts like God. Amen. You can just lean hard on that. I am the God kind. So let's declare this together. We got that. This word is God speaking to me. This word is God's life being imparted to me. This word is God's incorruptible seed being planted in me. This word is God's authority being delegated to me. This word is God's blessing overtaking me. This word is God's ability empowering me. This word is God's counsel guiding me. This word is God's power of salvation to me. This word is God accomplishing in me that which pleases him. This word is God speaking to me. Oh, hallelujah. He says his word will go forth and it will accomplish what he pleases. You know, he said about Jesus, he said, this is my son in whom I am well pleased. Well, who are you? Amen. So in Romans chapter 8, 14, by way of review, we're going to talk about some things. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. Amen. God desires to lead us. Where does he want to lead us? In green pastures, still pure waters. He wants to give us, he wants to bring us to the table that he set before us in the presence of our enemies. He wants to see us feast and enjoy ourselves in their presence. eat your heart out, devil. You had all this once. You had a very high position. You forfeited it. And praise God. He wants to lead us. And he said, my sheep know my voice. They hear my voice. I lead them and they follow me. Say that. I know his voice.
I know his voice.
I hear his voice.
I hear his voice.
He leads me.
And I follow.
I follow. Amen. So being led by the Spirit, it says, for as many as are led by the Spirit, they are the sons of God. Now, this sons of God means a mature son. Now, in the next, in verse 16, he said, the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the what?
Children
of God. Now, we go into great detail in Galatians distinguishing the difference between a child and a son. A child is somebody who's an heir, but he needs maturity. And so, but if you're led by the Spirit of God, you won't remain a little child anymore, and you'll become a son. So we all miss it in places, and really learning to follow the Spirit, be led by the Spirit, is a lifelong process of learning. Becoming sensitive and more sensitive to the Holy Spirit. But here's what this is talking about. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are what?
Children.
We're the God kind. The children of God. What's this talking about? This is talking about our very identity. This is our identity. Now, this is what the Spirit bears witness to with our what? With our spirit. You may have all kinds of ideas why you're not a child of God. Your mind gets twisted around after being in the world for 10 minutes. Just get in your car and drive. And your mind will give you all kinds of reasons to believe that you're not. And the devil will pile on top of that and he'll say, see that? You did. Where's your evidence? See, he is a rat. Here's my evidence. I believe that Jesus Christ died for my sins and he rose from the dead and I confess with my mouth he's my Lord. Period. End of discussion. Gavel goes down. He has no recourse for that. Just say this. The devil's accusing, he's the accuser of the brethren. The devil is accusing you. Jesus is your defense attorney. He is your advocate with the Father. Amen. God, the Father, is the judge. So you've got Jesus who's for you, God is for you, and the devil is against you, and he's already defeated. All we have to do is say this. If I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and to cleanse me from all unrighteousness. Like a pilot at night, he flies by his instruments. This is my instrument. Now I can't get vertical because I'm flying according to the instrument. Amen? This is the truth regardless of how I feel about it. Regardless of what the devil says about it. This is our identity. This is what the Spirit of God bears witness to. What does a witness do? He gives testimony, right? Who's testifying for you in heaven right now? Jesus, the Holy Spirit, even the Father. You are a child of God. That's number one. We talked about this. We talked about the inward witness. That's the inward witness of the Holy Spirit, and that's crucial because this is where he meets us in our identity. The first thing he came after Jesus was he attacked his identity. If you're the Son of God, it's very important. Jesus knew who he was. You need to know who you are. Let me ask you something. Is a bird afraid of heights? No, because he's equipped to supersede the laws of gravity. You're equipped to supersede the laws of sin and death. Because you operate in the law of the Spirit of life in Christ, and there is no condemnation in Christ. Woo! We got it coming and going. Amen. And the Holy Spirit bears witness of that. With who? Your spirit. Not your mind. Not your emotions. Not your attitude and how you feel about anything. The truth. The truth is down in here. Start agreeing with the truth. It's important because now he bears witness of the truth and what the Word of God says about you. And your identity is, this is where all the covenant benefits, blessings, promises are all invested for you to tap into. And how you, your identity as a son of God is what validates your ability to get into that covenant and get your inheritance. Your identity is really important. The Spirit of God bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. That identity as a child of God validates you as an heir. Look at the very next verse in verse 17. Do we have that, John? Okay. Verse 17 says that if you are a child, then you are an heir, heir of God, and joint heir with Jesus Christ. Amen. You're not a sub-heir. You're a joint heir with Christ, which means if he's accepted, you're accepted. If he's blessed, you're blessed. If he has all the wisdom of God available, you have all the wisdom of God available to you. There it is. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. You are joint heirs with Christ. There's some things you're going to have to resist. That's, by the way, Christian suffering is not God teaching me something through sickness. That's not Christian suffering. Christian suffering is resisting the temptations to turn away from God, to not believe his word, to sin. That's the resisting the lies of the devil is the suffering of the Christian in this world. Amen? There's a little more to it than that, but that's the root of it. God doesn't call you a child of the world. He's identified with you as his child. You're his child. You're the God kind. You are validated to come and receive your inheritance. We're going to talk about that in a little bit, but then part two, we talked about following peace. Colossians 3:15 says, let the peace of God rule your hearts. Now you link that together with John 14:27, where Jesus said, my peace I give to you. not as the world gives, give I to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now, we talked about this. The reason why Jesus gave us his peace was so that we could take that peace and let that peace rule our hearts. So we will not let our heart be troubled. How do we do that? Devil comes, usually he comes three different ways at once. Amen. And he comes three different ways at once, and our hearts begin to get troubled. Now we've got a storm going on up here. We've got a tree that has roots over here. And so what we can do is take that peace of God that Jesus gave us and let that peace start speaking the words of peace, calming that storm, coming into agreement with God, releasing our angels to produce what we need produced in our peace. Amen. So we can follow peace. That's why he gave us his peace, so that we could let not our heart be troubled and let it be afraid. This isn't make-believe stuff. This is real. Amen. Remember, you need to believe the peace of God is in there. It's a fruit of the Spirit. It's in your recreated human spirit. It is a fruit of the recreated human spirit. It's yours. You need to use it. How is that? Believe it and speak it. Believe it and speak it. Believe it and speak it. You know, God told Kenneth Hagin one time, he said, have you ever noticed in Mark 11:23 that the word say is used three times and the word believe is only used once? You can actually school yourself into faith by saying what the word of God says about you. Until you believe it. As a friend of mine used to say, fake it till you make it. But there's nothing fake about the Word of God. Amen? You keep saying the truth and saying the truth and saying the truth and saying the truth, and you start reaping a harvest of liberty, freedom, and everything that the truth produces in your life. Yes! Jesus knew the Holy Spirit as his helper. You need to know him as your helper. He's not your accuser. He's not the guilt guy that comes down and says, "Ooh, yeah." No, that's not the Holy Ghost. That's the devil. The Holy Spirit is your helper. He's your comforter. Jesus knew him as his comforter. Oh, above everything else, he knew he could go, "Oh, comfort, comfort." Why do you think he woke up early? He couldn't wait to get out there and get somewhere and just let the Holy Spirit give him comfort. He knew the Holy Spirit was his guide, that he would guide him. He knew that the Holy Spirit would show him things to come, that he would be ready for everything that that day was going to throw at him. He was ready for it. Are you any different than him? No, you're not. Because you are what? A joint heir with Christ. He walks in you, you walk in him. God is in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure, and he'll show you what you need. You'll be ready for it. You won't be trying to catch up. It'll be the devil trying to catch up with you. The devil wants to put a ring through our nose and lead us his way. No, no. You say, devil, I'm following Jesus. Get out of me. Get out of me. Get out. It's the way you got to be with the devil. You know, Smith Wigglesworth saw this woman once, and she was waiting for a trolley, I think, or a bus or something, and her little dog came out after her, and she said, "No, go back," and the dog wouldn't go. He said, then she saw the bus coming, and she stamped her foot and said, "Get!" And the dog, right into the house. Smith Wigglesworth said, "That's the way you got to do the devil." Say it like you mean it, because it is the absolute truth. It comes from heaven. It comes from the throne room of God. When you speak his word, he is in his word, and all of his ability is released in that word. And you have every right, and you have been authorized to speak it and believe it to come to pass. It's a gift he gave to you to pick it up and use it. Woo! Oh, He knew him as his helper. He knew him as the revealer of truth. And if there was something he needed information at any certain time, the Spirit would really. We need to go into every day knowing this, expecting this. We have the whole book of Acts to show us what we can expect of the Holy Spirit. In fact, then part three, we talked about the helper and how he helps us. And he's sown into all these things. The language of the Spirit was last week. We saw how real and active the Holy Spirit was to those in the book of Acts. And that it was written for our benefit so we could know what to expect from the Holy Spirit. He didn't write all of that just to fold up the tent and go home and leave the church powerless with no gifts for the last 2,000 years. No, in fact, right now he's turning up the volume. He's turning up the power. He's got to get a work done. It's a quick work. He's going to get it done. Jesus used to say, "He who has ears to hear, let him hear." What is the language of the Spirit? It's not words that these words hear that go into a physical eardrum. And it's, now, the language of the Spirit can be interpreted in words. But the language of the Spirit is very different than just words. In the book of Acts, he led them. How did he lead them? Well, he led them through, he bore witness to them. He gave them impressions, intuitions, which is a knowing. He gave them visions and dreams. He guided them. It was a sudden knowing what they needed to do. Now, there was an angel in Acts chapter 8. There was an angel told Philip to go down by this road that leads to Gaza, and an angel told him. You know, if you go to most Christians today, many Christians today, and you start talking about experiences that you had with God and angels, they go, "Oh, you can't depend on experiences. That's something they get rote because that's what they're taught." No, we don't depend on them. We just have them. The book of Acts gave us reference so that we would have an expectation of what the Holy Spirit would do in our lives. Not so that we could say, "Well, you go, you know, God, the devil can appear as an angel of light." Yeah. See, all that's true. The devil is a counterfeiter. Yeah, all that's true. But for way too long, the church has rolled up the sidewalk and said, "No, I'm just..." This is power that he placed on the church to get a job done. And they've been shrinking back in bondage of fear, afraid to do anything, and the devil's going, they believe that. And all the time, the Son of God says, when he, the Spirit, has come, he'll show you things to come. He'll do a lot of things. He'll guide you. He'll lead you. Supernatural. And he took three chapters in 1 Corinthians and talked about the gifts of the Spirit. Here's how they operate. Here's how you can operate in them. And he went into specifics in 1 Corinthians 14. Well, unless there's an interpreter, you can't speak in tongues. Well, how you know that there's going to be an interpreter until you speak in tongues? So, well, what if there's unbelievers? It says that tongues are given for a sign for the unbeliever. How's he going to hear it unless you speak in tongues? Look, we've got to read this thing accurately and properly and know what it says. Because the devil will test us on it. Am I right or wrong? I think we're getting somewhere today. Oh, the devil just left. I'm getting out of here. They experience him often on a daily basis. Praise God. Is this getting to you? Is this giving you some fuel to know that you can be confident in whose you are and what he has given you? That his power is just as real today as it ever was then. And in fact, if there's ever a time that we need supernatural wisdom, a word of wisdom, word of knowledge, discerning of spirits, it's now. They are active and living. These are the gifts of the Spirit. But if you're, I'll tell you, why is it that the church put all this power on the side and just started opening up a weekly show, a concert, celebrities. What kind of power are they walking in? And then a lot of them are focusing on QAnon. Here's the thing. If you spend all your time looking at reading all that conspiracy theories and all of these things, what happens when you get symptoms in your body? You're not going to be ready. You know, if you see crooks, robbers coming up your driveway and they've got masks on and guns in their hand, that's not the time to go down the basement and start working out with your weights. No, you got to be ready before then. You know, you've got to get your gun beforehand and be ready, make sure it's loaded and ready for them, and then you'll be ready. It's the same thing in the Spirit. Pray in the Spirit, you're edifying yourself. He who prays in an unknown tongue, his Spirit prays, and he edifies himself, and he gives thanks well. You can't edify the church until you're first edified yourself. Speak in tongues. Get the Spirit of God flowing in your life. Let your spirit acclimate and your soul open up to the language of the Spirit through praying in tongues.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah.
I know I'm preaching to the choir here, aren't I? But you see, when we resist the power of God, it's no wonder why their kids are getting into witchcraft and the demonic. Because they want power, something with power. And they don't see it in the past. So, oh, no, that was for then. You notice how it's that power is always for the past or the future, never now. Oh, see, I guess you could tell where I came from. I got enough of that. Finally, they said, you got to have faith. And I said, well, I thought that's what I was here to get. And then they talk about Job and Paul's thorn and you know, how great the devil is. The supremacy of Satan and how weak they are because, I don't know, they're fighting this fight with the devil. When if they just worship God and walk in his power, the devil wouldn't have a grip on them. Blinding flash of the obvious. Here's five things. Seeing how the church has reduced much of it to just theology and knowledge. Five things that theology should give us that is not giving us. Number one, if what you're hearing doesn't bring faith, it's not the gospel of Christ. Because faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. If it doesn't produce faith, it's not the word of God. If you can't get faith from it, it's not the word. If you can't get saved on it, on what you're hearing, it's not the gospel of Christ, because the Son of Man came to seek and to save those who are lost. That's Luke 19:10, by the way. If you can't get healed on it, it's not the word of God. It's not the gospel of Christ. It's another gospel. Without Christ the healer, we wouldn't even have a gospel of Christ, because healing was a major portion of his ministry. He healed multitudes. He raised the dead, healed lepers, opened ears. It goes on and on and on. Blind eyes, dumb spoke. Physical was a huge part. Is he the same yesterday, today, and forever?
Yes.
Or did he diminish his power? Is it because of us that he can't work through? No. A lot of times we limit him. But you can change that.
Right.
Here it is. It's just by going like this. That's all you got to do is change your mind. Matthew 4:23, it says, Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching, preaching, and healing all manner of sickness and disease. That leaves nothing out. If you can't get healed on it, it's not the gospel. If you do get healed on it, it's the gospel. If you can't get delivered on it, it's not the gospel. He gave you power over all the power of the enemy, over serpents and scorpions, to tread on them. He cast out spirits with his word, it says in Matthew 8:16. If you can't get your financial needs met on it, it's not the gospel of Christ. Jesus said he was anointed to preach the gospel to the poor. What's good news to the poor? The gospel means good news. That you don't have to be poor. This is the gospel. It covers every area of life. Paul told us that God will meet our needs according to his riches and glory. I mean, does that sound like, you know, it's all through the New Testament is financial prosperity. And it's not just financial prosperity, it's prosperity in all facets of life. Health, delivery, you know, peace. Peace is that all-encompassing word. Shalom, Irene in the New Testament. You know, we've got to get more sensitive to the Spirit. Do you remember when Adam said, I mean, you weren't there. I was. Adam said, I was afraid. I heard your voice and I was afraid because I was naked. And he said, who told you you were naked? Well, this is how we've got to be really tuned to the Spirit. When we say, Lord, I'm broke. Who told you that you were broke? Amen. Who told you that you were sick? Amen. Who told you? We've got to wait. Start enforcing what God... No, he said, you were healed by the stripes of Jesus. Amen. Were past tense. We come into agreement now and boom. Yes. We've got it. Praise God. Praise the Lord. Is it hitting home? Was that a grand slam? Yes. We got a lot more points to put up on the board here. Meditate in his word day and night. You're equipping. We're talking about the Holy Spirit today, the equipper. You know, the Holy Spirit is the person of grace. And God's grace is not insufficient. His grace is sufficient. To do what? Keep you in the bad shape you're in? No, to change it. To exalt you above it. To heal you. To deliver you. To enforce all of the benefits of the New Testament that he invested in there and to make it real to you. To bring it into your life. The Holy Spirit is the equipper. Was Abraham equipped when he took 318 men over the armies of four kings and defeated them with 300 men? Was he equipped? How is he equipped? Faith in God. Ooh. And right after that, you know what happened? Melchizedek shows up. And, you know, it's almost like he's saying, you think that was good? Tithes of all, and God will make a covenant with you that will put you... We're still talking about Abraham, and it's been 4,000 years. He made that right after that, he gave tithes of all, and he made Abraham a covenant that brought Messiah into the world for all the families of the earth to be blessed. Your tithe doesn't, you can't pay God. He doesn't work for you. The tithe is not something you give to God. It's already his. And when you honor him, he will honor you in every facet of your life. That's what the tithe is there for. It's to come in line with God's will. Was David equipped when he ran out to Goliath? Was he equipped? Yeah, he was. You know where he got equipped? On the back 40 when he's taking care of the sheep. Meditating day and night. Blessed is he. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the word of the Lord. And in his word does he meditate day and night, day and night. And he wrote all those psalms. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. Did he want for anything when he was charging after Goliath? Was he equipped? Are you equipped when you run into a giant, a creditor, a threat that says you don't have enough and it's coming? What do? You got to run. You got to run at it. You got to run at it. Was Daniel equipped when he stood, when the succession of three godless kings, and he stood there declaring that his God is above all of their gods that they worship, and he lasted out. He lasted more than any of them, the most powerful man in Babylon. Every time they tried to come against him, God just promoted him. You've got the same God inside of you. Shadrach, Meshach, Abednego came out of that fiery furnace that was seven times hotter than usual, so that when the guys threw him in, the guys that threw him in burned up, and they're standing in it with the fourth man, who is in you, by the way, and not even the smell of smoke on him. Was he the equipper then? Was he the equipper with Elisha? When Elisha is surrounded by the Syrian army, and Gehazi, his servant, said, "What are we going to do now?" He said, "Don't worry about it." He said, "What do you mean?" "Well, there are more with us than..." "Where?" Lord opened his eyes. And he opened his eyes. And he saw the mountain filled with chariots of fire, ready to do whatever Elisha commanded. You have a better covenant than Elisha had. He was a prophet, but you are the priest and prophet of your own life. You have an innumerable company of angels at your disposal that are under the command of God to do as you command. They are your servants, it says in Hebrews chapter 1. I believe it's verse 9. That says they are servants, ministers sent forth to minister or serve those who are the heirs of salvation. If we neglect these things, if we let them slip. Remember when Joyce said that? She said, I knew all this, but I just let it slip. But now this thing put it back in focus, and she saw it. She said, "Yep, that's mine. I am free from that allergy." But look, you have an innumerable company of angels that are just as powerful as they were in Elisha's day. Didn't Jesus say, "I could call a legion of angels, 12 legions of angels to rescue me now"? That's self-control when you know those nails are coming. When you know that those cut of nine tails is going to open your body up to the pain, to unbelievable pain. That first lash would take the breath right out of you. It would be like knocking the wind right out of you. And yet he carried that cross all that way. Is he a strengthener? Is he an equipper? Is he an encourager, a motivator? Is he your reason to keep on going? Amen. Was Paul equipped when him and Silas were in the Philippian jail, in the inner prison? The devil said, "Oh, I got to get these guys in here." And he wanted to get them in the, not just the prisons, in the inner prison. He got them in the center, so he got them under control. And they sang at midnight. They started to sing. What do you think they were singing? Praises to the Lord. That's what I think too. I'm sure they were saying something maybe a little different than we think. All it says is that they began singing praises to God. "Oh Lord, I know that you know where I am. Oh Lord, I know that the devil is defeated. Mr. Devil, by the way, you have my feet in the stocks. You have my hands bound. You have my back bleeding. I've been beaten. Yeah, 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 yeah. Oh, yeah. And you know what? You made a big mistake, devil, because you forgot to tape my mouth shut." "And as long as I have a praise in my mouth, I can move mountains." "Do you remember, devil? Do you remember Jericho? Whoa, hallelujah. Do you remember that? Oh, that was a strong city. Oh, that kept everybody out. It was an edifice. Nobody was getting through there. Do you know what it looks like now? Devil, you are under his feet and you're under my feet." And oh, hallelujah. All of a sudden, the prisoners started hearing it. And they heard, Praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. These guys are blacks. Their backs are bleeding. They're open. They're bloody. They're stuck. That devil has them right where he wants it. Oh, devil, do you remember that empty tomb? You remember you had him in there and he was dead as a doornail? But look at it now. Oh, he raised from the dead. He lives in me. He's the same God now for me in this situation, here, now, in me, through me, by me. Yeah, and joy started filling the whole place, and the Spirit of God filled it. And it says the doors got all knocked off, and all the prisoners came out. Oh, there's no reason for anybody to be in prison in their mind, in their emotions, or anything. You've got that same, and that same Apostle Paul said, I cease not praying for you, always, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The eyes of your understanding be enlightened, that you might know the hope, the hope, the hope of your calling, the exceeding greatness of his power that's always coming to usward, and the magnificent inheritance that's ours. If you open your mouth, he's already equipped you. Believe it, speak it, stand on it, receive it. It's yours. Woo-hoo. Hallelujah. Jesus, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever, now and forever. And he's bringing you with him. Oh, whoa. Oh, it's a good time to get saved again today. Woo. Oh, you may be small in your own eyes, but in the eyes of God, you're everything. In the heart of God, he will move on your behalf. Oh, open your mouth. Let him fill that, what was once a prison, what was once a tomb, what was once a lion's den that the devil meant for you. When they threw Daniel's enemies into there, their bones didn't even hit the ground where the lions were all over them breaking them. But Daniel just came out and said, what a night. You should have seen it. God was there. Angels surrounded me, and those lions just went to sleep like little pussycats. What to do in an overnight stay in a lion's den? Open your mouth and let it out. Oh, Jesus is so good. Jesus is so good. That same Paul. This is the gospel of the kingdom. This is what makes chains fall to the ground. This is what liberates your soul and brings you from what is limited one time into the limitless, boundless skies of heaven. You glad you came today? This is salvation. This is the both in the Hebrew and in the Greek, in the Old Testament and New Testament. This is what it means. It means salvation. It means safety. It means soundness. It means protection. It means healing and health. It means preservation. It means deliverance. It means provision. This is how the Spirit leads us into these things, and this is what he bears witness to. This is the things that we have to believe and receive and confess, because confession is made unto salvation. That means confession is made unto healing. This means that confession is made up to safety and soundness. When you leave your house, say, Lord, I thank you for salvation. Thank you that I am safe and sound in your presence, that your angels surround me and I am protected. You have that authorization to declare that. I can lay hands on the sick and the sick shall recover. My job is to lay hands on the sick. That's it. God will do the rest. Because he is an ever-present help in the time of need. And when you do the word of God, lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. This is what the Spirit bears witness to. The truth. The truth. The truth. Are you in a prison today? Are you in a place you don't want to be? That bad choices have gotten you in? Lord, just start praising him again. Lord, I praise the name of Jesus. I give you glory and honor. The devil can't shut my mouth, and I'm not going to let him. I'm going to praise you, Lord. See, that's what I think Paul was doing.
Yes.
You know, really, does that make sense to you guys? Oh. Praise the Lord. Well, I think we're going to close. You want dessert?
You want more meat?
Praise the Lord. Say this, I am God's child.
I follow the Spirit of
peace.
He is my helper.
I know the language of the Spirit.
Amen.
Amen. And the Holy Spirit is my equipper. Say it like you believe it. The Holy Spirit is my equipper. And when you're equipped with the Holy Spirit, people will be talking about you for the next 2,000 years too. Oh, I'm excited. I'm sorry, did I shout too loud today? Did I get lit?
Yes.
I'm not going to take this and put a basket over it. Enough of the church has done that for too long. We are those who do not shrink back, who see every opportunity to release the power. Jesus never missed an opportunity to show goodness, kindness, and release the power of God. He never missed an opportunity. We've missed some, but we're going to get them back. Amen. Father.